Meditate on what God says. Meditate on his hope for your future. Meditate on what he thinks about you and your identity in him. Not about all the ways that you've fallen short, not about all your failures, but all the ways that God has shown up for you and all the ways that he has yet to show up for you. You have to look at the future with hope, because it's really easy, I think, in the modern day with the news, they're selling fear, and it feels like, and sometimes, that the sky is falling and it's the end of the world. But we have to see, no, God is going to do a great thing, that revival is on the horizon, that the kingdom is on the move, that we are in step. And how are we in step? We are in step in obedience. We are in step in rest. We are in step in alignment. And we are saying we are positioning ourselves to receive the best that God has for us. Hey, this is Megan Marcelino, and I want to welcome you back to Generations at the Table. Thank you so much for pulling up a seat with me today. Thank you so much for taking time to invest in yourself. I can't tell you what an honor it is to get the chance to speak into your life and to be a part of your development, a part of your transformation. I really consider it one of my greatest life's honors to be able to do that and to be able to be a part of your journey. Today, I want to talk to you about kind of what does your life attract? Have you ever thought about that question? It's something that I was just pondering the other day, like what do I attract? What do I attract with my habits, my thoughts, my patterns? What do I attract like in the spirit realm? And kind of like, how does all of that work? You know, if you are a farmer and you're sowing seed, you sow seed because you want to reap a certain harvest. And so if we realize that our thoughts and our actions, habits and patterns, they all attract things. They either attract the blessing of God or they repel the blessing of God. And in the spirit realm, it's the same way. When we live in places of, you know, where we're fearing lack, or we have fear issues or anxiety or any kind of just like negative emotions, then those thoughts, right, they attract that negative spirit, which just perpetuates more thoughts and kind of more spiraling. But if we live in a place of love, where our God is love and we live in love, we attract the blessings of God. We attract peace. We attract joy. And I don't mean this like in a weird New Age way. I'm just saying that like spiritually, when you are living in a place and dwelling in an emotional state, it is creating that attraction to either the blessings of God, or it is pushing the blessings of God away, because it is an atmosphere that is not conducive for that. God's love and God's peace do not thrive in high anxiety and high chaos. So can you create an atmosphere around you where you can hear and receive the word of the Lord? You know, when I get up in the mornings and I get ready to have time with the Lord, I am seeking a quiet place. Why? Because that atmosphere is conducive to settling my soul to hear the word of the Lord, to hear what my Father has to say for me. You can liken it the other way, like if you were in a loud concert where there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of confusion and there's a lot going on in the atmosphere and someone's trying to say something to you and you're like, huh? What are you saying? We love to take the kids out on a golf cart. Like that's always really fun. But if I'm sitting in the very back and Paul's sitting in the very front and they've got the music blaring and I'm trying to yell over the noise of the wind and the sound of the golf cart and the music, he never catches what I'm saying. And it's always like, gotta turn the music down. Well, I think sometimes God is asking us, can you turn the music down so that you can hear what I have to say to you? And we don't want to miss his direction. So back to that first question, what do our lives attract? What do our habits and patterns, what do our thought processes, what do our mindsets, what do they, you know, what are they like, what is it pulling towards us? And when we sow seed of, like, let's take this down to the natural. If you sow seeds for flowers, you're going to reap flowers. And those flowers are going to attract what? Butterflies. They're going to attract birds. They're going to attract pollinators, like all of those things, right? So what are our life seeds sowing? And how can we get a grip on that? One of the biggest things I think we have to ask ourselves is, what harvest do we want? Because if you want a harvest of family and you want a harvest of abundance and a harvest of joy and love, are you sowing seeds that are in alignment with that? Because when we just sow seeds that are in the natural and our own strength and striving, and they're kind of in like that scarcity mindset, and we're sowing seeds of fear and we're sowing and living in that way, we're not going to reap the harvest that we want. So one of the first questions we have to ask and identify and be able to ask clearly or answer clearly is, what do you want? I really love that about the whole goals to grow exercise that we've put out, because it's like, here's your goals, here's your step to grow, here's what you're growing towards, but why are you growing towards it? Because I think one of the biggest things that we have to identify when we're trying to reach a goal or an end result or what we desire is why we want it. You're like, well, I want to be healthy. Well, why do you want to be healthy? You know, like what? Why? Well, for me as a mom, it's like, I want to be healthy because I want to keep up with my kids. I want to have the energy to meet the demands that they have. I want to answer the call of God on my life. And I want to be healthy so that I can say yes, so that when God says, I want you to, you know, in the spirit, hopefully not in the natural, climb this mountain, I'm like ready to go. But in you have to realize that even in the natural realm, when we steward our temples, we're doing so so that we can answer the call that God has on our life, so that we have the energy to show up, that we were able to physically do what he asked us to do, that has both a spiritual side and a physical side. So when we steward our temples well, we're doing it so that we can not only be there for our families, but we can be there for whatever God asks for us to do in our calling. So what are we attracting in that way? Every seed that we plant by thought, by action, by deed creates fruit. What is the fruit of your life? Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and try me now in this, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing. See, generosity precedes the blessing. When we sow seeds of generosity with our finances, it comes before the blessing. We begin to sow those seeds. You know what? It may just be something small. I was traveling the other day and I was exhausted. It had been a long day. It had been a hard trip. And I went into this little restaurant in the airport and the waitress was just so kind. She was so friendly. And I don't know if it was like that she saw me there and I was with a baby and by myself or what exactly it was, but she was so just gentle with me. And I just thought, man, I really appreciated that because it had been kind of a hectic day. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to leave her like a 20 or 30% tip. And I don't even remember what it was. I didn't even say anything, but I wanted to sow generously in her because she's so generously into me, just in kindness. There was a line, there was people, it's an airport, people are already in a bad mood, but she was so kind. And so my challenge to you is this, is you can look for little ways to sow generously into the life of someone else. And you can change the atmosphere, you can turn a negative experience into a positive experience and say, I'm gonna sow generously. And what is gonna happen? You're gonna reap generously. Proverbs 13:20 says this about the company that we keep. If you want to grow in wisdom, spend time with the wise. Walk with the wicked and you'll eventually become just like them. Man, that is just so loaded. That is like, there's so many layers upon that. So many layers. But it's like, if you want to grow in wisdom, do you want to grow in wisdom? That's a question. Like he's asking, if you want to, here's what you do. What do you do? You spend time with the wise. One of the biggest areas of guidance that I hope that I can provide my children is if you want this, spend time with someone who has it, that you have to create community, that you have to develop relationships that are moving in the same direction that you want in the spirit and in the natural. And you can't expect to have community and hang out in certain areas and not go that direction. You just do. You just move that direction. You're just like the people that you spend time with. So spend time with the wise. Cultivate those relationships. Cultivate those relationships that are moving you towards the direction that you want to go. And that doesn't mean that you have to get rid of every single relationship, but I would encourage you to invest relationships, steward your time, steward relationships with people who are like-minded, with believers that are taking you to where you want to go. As a daughter of a minister, I can tell you that I have watched countless people spend time with a disgruntled person and go that way. I mean, it just happens. Bitterness perpetuates bitterness. And if you spend time with people that are unsatisfied or dissatisfied and bitter and angry, you're going to go that way. And you're going to suddenly pick up on all the negative things that they see and feel, and you're going to begin to feel that way, and you're going to begin to reflect those feelings. Likewise, if I see people and they are congregating wise people and they congregate together, then you begin to reflect those attributes and that's what you begin to attract. But whatever those emotions that you're embracing in this season, you're emulating them and you're attracting other people that feel the same way. Spending time with life-giving people is going to attract wisdom. And what is wisdom going to unlock for you? It's going to unlock abundance. It's going to unlock prosperity. It's going to unlock witty ideas. And I'm not just talking about in the natural, like financial. Wisdom brings forth an atmosphere for you to live in an abundance of joy and peace and meaning so that you feel like your life is full of the goodness of God. Wisdom is not just a head knowledge. It is a lifestyle. See, I believe that it is wisdom to honor the instruction of God and to celebrate and honor Shabbat, that it is wisdom to rest. I'm not saying do nothing. I'm saying to cause my spirit to rest. I believe that it is wisdom to show up for the feast of the Lord because he set a pattern for me and he's saying, I want to have a relationship with you. And in order for us to have a relationship, you got to show up. Have you ever tried to have a relationship with someone who never showed up at any of your invitations? You probably just stopped inviting them. If you're like, hey, come to dinner, and they don't ever show up, you're probably like, yeah, I don't think that person really wants to get to know me. I don't think that person really wants to be in community with me. Well, likewise, the Lord has set out, I have an invitation of feasts for you to show up and to sit at my table and to get to know me better. And you never show up, then it's kind of like it's a complete disregard. And so I believe that it's wisdom to heed those invitations. Jeremiah 13:10 speaks about evil people, and it says that evil people, wicked people, refuse to hear God's words, and they follow the dictates of their own hearts and walk after other gods. So when we are, going back to Proverbs 13:20, when wicked people, I think sometimes we think about wicked and it's like, maybe it's like a really extreme version of what you would esteem like wicked. But wicked and evil is simply not surrendering to God. That is also a version of what that would be. It's not yielding to what God has, and it's refusing, and it's basically saying, I am going to live by the dictates and the desires of my own heart. I am going to create false gods, and that's what I'm going to go after. And God is saying, no, I just want you to yield to me. I want you to surrender to me. And that is wisdom. See, your thoughts have patterns. Your thoughts do have patterns, but your thoughts have power. And they create an atmosphere around you that that is beginning to attract both the good and the bad. Your mindset, like what does it say in Romans 12, that we are renewed by the transforming of our mind. So how do we renew our mind? By his word, by being in his word and listening to his word above all else. More than the news, more than the circumstances, more than the doctor's report, what does God's word say? But here's the other thing is, your thoughts are not always yours. Sometimes it's the enemy. Your thoughts are not always true, so you have to filter them through the word. You have to bring every thought captive, right? Every single thought captive, not some thoughts, not like, you know, okay, maybe this thought. No, God says every thought captive so that it can further you and you're not dwelling in these bad places, because God knows that if you sit and you spiral in those negative thoughts. I just had a conversation with a girlfriend about it just last night. We were discussing a medical situation, and I was saying, you know, here's what God did with me when I was going through a medical situation with our kids, is that I found myself on Google just scrolling, doom scrolling. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's this. Oh my gosh. You know, like, and it was, what was it doing? It's perpetuating fear. And my one thought was just attracting spirits of fear, spirits of negativity, spirits of overwhelm. That's what I was attracting based on what I was allowing in the gate of my eyes. And so the Lord said, put it down, put Google down and read the word. What does the word say over your child? What does the word say over their destiny? What does the word say over their health? And then what did I begin attracting? Peace, joy, hope. Eyes and perspective for the future. And it was like a total different message. But the point is that our thoughts attract all these different spirits, would attract all these different emotions, and it completely impacts how we live our day. So 2 Corinthians 10:5, I'm going to read the whole thing to you. It says, we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. I love that translation, the Passion Translation. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist it bow. So when the enemy comes in and he whispers to you, you're a failure, you are not enough. you are not worthy. You haven't done enough. Here's where you messed up. Here's your past. Here's your this. Here's your that. No, you capture every thought like a prisoner of war. And you say, I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you, fear. And I choose to embrace forgiveness. I choose to embrace grace. I choose to embrace what God says about me. And then it begins to attract spirits of love, the love of the Father, the spirits of compassion. And you begin to embrace what God says about you as his image bearer, as one who reflects him. And then you take on the discipline of Philippians 4, which is fix your thoughts, right? Meditate on that which is good. Meditate on what God says. Meditate on his hope for your future. Meditate on what he thinks about you and your identity in him. Not about all the ways that you've fallen short, not about all your failures, but all the ways that God has shown up for you and all the ways that he has yet to show up for you. You have to look at the future with hope, because it's really easy, I think, in the modern day with the news, they're selling fear, and it feels like, and sometimes, that the sky is falling and it's the end of the world. But we have to see, no, God is going to do a great thing, that revival is on the horizon, that the kingdom is on the move, that we are in step. And how are we in step? We are in step in obedience. We are in step in rest. We are in step in alignment. And we are saying we are positioning ourselves to receive the best that God has for us. You know, I talked about this in the last episode. We were talking about the month of Av, but it's about the tablets of the Ten Commandments, that they were dual purpose, that they served not only the generation that received them, but every generation that followed. That's you and that's me. That we can lean into the instruction of God. Why? To give us rules, to give us boundaries? Yeah, sure, but why? To bless us, to prosper us, to give us a hope and to give us a future. And if that was true for the previous generations, then that is true for you and I. We are not the in generation that's like, oh, we don't give a hope. We don't have a future. That is not what the Lord says about us. He has a hope and a future for us and for our children. And I can tell you, parent to parent, mom to mom, it is scary raising kids in this generation. It is scary. But if I allow my head and my heart to go to that place of worrying about what world they're going to grow up in and worrying about what maybe my future grandchildren are going to grow up in, all that does is bring depression and anxiety and fear. But if I think about what the Word says, that these children are called and chosen, that I am honored as their mom to steward their life, that I am honored to steward the work that God is going to do, that they have a bright future in him, that somewhere in the kingdom of God, that they are going to be advancing, and that in their time, they're going to be unlocking kingdom destinies. That's what I believe for them. And when I think about that, what do I feel? I feel joy. I feel hope. I feel honor. And you know, in their own way, they already are doing those things. I want to encourage you as parents that your children, from the moment that they are conceived, that they begin fulfilling the destiny that God had for them. I can tell you that each of my children has unlocked something inside of me that is unique, that has caused me to let go of something that I was holding on to, and that they have unlocked part of my kingdom destiny. Each one, each in their own little way, just from the moment we found out that they were coming. And so as parents, your children have a hope and they have a future. And they've already begun fulfilling that, I believe, even in these little ways. I'm sure you could tell me all about it and all the ways they've challenged you, all the ways that they've refined you, but that God has a purpose and a hope for them. So Philippians 4:8, keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic, real, honorable, admirable, beautiful, respectful, pure, holy, merciful, kind. That is where we want to be. That is the place. I can even just feel the peace of the Lord here just saying those words to you. Like, he's so good to us. Like, this is where you fix your mind, Megan, not on everything else that's going on in the world around you. This is where you think. And so what happens? Those words become thoughts, become seeds, become fruit. And as you sow these things, you begin to attract them into your life. And you begin to open your doors of your spiritual doors for blessing. Because see, when you're sowing in the opposite spirit, when you're sowing things that are not in line with that, then you begin reaping that harvest. So we need to repent for those times that we've done that, because we've all done that, because we're human, right? We're just human and we make mistakes. But when we sow these things, when we sow real authenticity, honorable, admirable, beautiful, respectful, pure, merciful thoughts, that we begin reaping that harvest. And that begins being what our lives attract. So my question for you is, what do you want? You know, we're getting ready to start the fall feast season, and you're going to have some time to be thinking about, what do you want in the year ahead? What is your heart's desire? You need to be able to identify it. You need to be able to verbalize it, and you need to be able to write it down, make the vision plain. So you don't have to know it right now, wherever you're listening, in the car or at home, but you need to start thinking about it. What do I want? And then what do I need to do to get there? What seeds do I need to plant? How can you live generously? How can you live in alignment? And how can you discipline your thought and your mindset? Because see, your thoughts are kind of like a practice loop. You begin to think first about where you want to go before you actually get there, right? You're like, I'm going to go to the grocery store and I'm going to get XYZ. That's how you kind of thought. That's how the practice. So how can you do that in the spirit realm? I'm going to think like a person who is generous. I am going to think like a person who is full of faith. And with that, I am going to act and do and live like a person who is full of faith. Sometimes you got to fake it till you make it, right? You got to pretend, in a sense, like, I'm going to, what would a person who is full of faith do in this situation? How would they respond? How would they discipline their thoughts? That's how you're going to need to take this next season. Identify what you want, and then how are you going to begin to get there? And as you do it, that new pattern is going to create, even on a subconscious level, you're going to begin becoming that person of faith. You're going to begin becoming that person of generosity. But if you want to live generously, you don't just think it, you act it. If you want to live in a place of faith, you're going to have to take those steps of faith. Like, we sit around and sing like all these songs in worship, like, oh God, you know, make me a faith, blah, blah, blah. Don't sing it if you're not going to live it and if you're not going to do it. God is asking us to accept the invitation of faith, accept the invitation of generosity, accept the invitation of living in alignment and in his patterns, in his season, in his covenant blessings. So what does the atmosphere that you create around you say about you? I think our challenge this week should be this. What is the atmosphere of our home? What is the atmosphere of our family? And is it what we want? And if it isn't, what is the atmosphere that we want to create? And what do we need to do to make that happen? Sometimes it's getting rid of certain things. Sometimes it's embracing new habits. But what is your atmosphere of your home? I can tell you, as a mom, I want our home to be peaceful and joyful and full of love. And sometimes that means that I have to let go of certain expectations or certain commitments so that I can be fully present, be where my feet are, be there for my kids. It's not doing more. It's actually doing less. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that you will take some time this week to really begin that introspection process and seek that which you want, seek first the kingdom, and kind of figure out how you can get into that mindset so that you can create those practice patterns. Don't be too hard on yourself, but do identify those areas and begin taking baby steps forward. Thank you so much for joining me today. I look forward to being with you next week, same time, same place.